We'll go and get your Bibles and go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 31. We'll be reading there in just a few moments. As always, it's great to be here with our brethren, to be encouraged and edified from one another, and to look into God's Word. And as us men, we present these lessons. Sometimes we look into a lot of other brethren, we get some ideas and things, and this morning here is no different. I want to mention that most of this, what I'll be presenting today, has come from our brother Bill Hall again. I used a lot of his last week on some, or a couple weeks ago, when we talked about problems back in the 50s and 60s that arise. We talked about the church-supported orphan homes and things and problems with that and things that arose. And today I want to be us talking about is some things that, qualities that make for a good wife and qualities that make for a good husband I want to speak about today. Come across this, and like I said, from Brother Bill Hall, some writing he's got in his books. And I thought this is be a good topic, and I like how he is kind of presented this and wrote about it. Is more or less talking about, we're going to be looking as from the scripture reading from Ruth here in a little bit. We can talk about Ruth and Boaz and how he kind of uses that to bring out some of the qualities that make for a good wife and some qualities that make for a good husband. And when you think about those things, I mean, not only for those who are thinking about marriage and our kids coming up, but even us, of those who have been married, whether it's just for a couple years or even myself for 17 years or Brother Rex and Mr. Donnie and Miss Janie for a long time, we still need to continue to work to be the husband that God would have us to be, the wife that God would have us to be, and those qualities that God expects us to have. And when we do think about those things, we need to always remember that we're always trying to improve ourselves. Or some people might think, well, this is who you married, so this is who you get. You knew what you was getting when you married me. I think us know that a marriage is something that we have to work at. A marriage is something that we continue to try to improve at. That'd be like saying, God, well, God, this is who I was when I obeyed the gospel, so you just stuck with me. No, God expects us to conform to His Word and to be obedient to Him and to continue every day to become a better servant for Him. Well, now you need to think about that same thing in us as husbands and us as wives now. We can become better husbands. We can become better wives. And I've always mentioned before that us, as we continue to grow closer to our Lord and become a better servant for Him, it makes us a better husband, makes us better wives. It makes us better friends to people. It makes us better all the way around, workers. And so, this morning, the reason I had us turn to Proverbs 31 before we get into some qualities here to make it for a good wife and go into Ruth. Let's read there from Proverbs chapter 31. We'll pick up there. Now, everybody knows when we talk about the virtuous wife, the virtuous woman here, we go to Proverbs chapter 31. There's some very good things I want us to read here from Proverbs 31. Get this mindset in this before we go to the book of Ruth, pull out some examples and some qualities that Ruth had. But there in Proverbs 31, if y'all will, follow along with me. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of her snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Definitely some very, very good things here for this virtuous woman and how she should be. And how blessed is the man who finds that virtuous woman. And so now, if you will, go ahead and turn your Bibles now to Ruth. We'll pick up here in Ruth here in just a few moments. But now to kind of go to where I want to bring the lesson now is talk about some of these things. Talk about the qualities here to make for a good wife. Then we'll go into the qualities that make for a good husband. Here our brother Bill Hall has mentioned, he says, what qualities should a young man look for in a girl that he would marry? What qualities should the girl look for in a young man? These are things when you're young, you need to be asking yourself these things. What qualities should we, who are already married, be demonstrating in our own lives? We need to understand us as parents and us as a husband and wife, we are showing our children. Me as a husband, I'm showing my sons what type of husband they should be and how they should be with their wives. I'm showing my daughter what type of man she should be looking for and how a man should be treating her. We need to think on these things in our marriage. We need to know these things. This is very important. We are an example. Our children are looking to us. Well, I know each and every one of us, we can look back to our own parents. We've seen the marriage maybe they have. We learn things from those that looking to. We need to realize that we ourselves need to be an example to our children. The type of qualities that we need to possess ourselves. And we look at he's got here, the book of Ruth provides some answers to these questions. And it tells of the marriage of two wonderful people, Ruth and Boaz. That's what we're going to be looking at. The following qualities can be seen in Ruth, making her an ideal wife for Boaz. So now we're going to be looking at some of the qualities that Brother Bill Hall here has pointed out here from Ruth here. The first thing he's got here is she was loyal. I had Lawton read from us a while ago the words that Ruth said here to Naomi in Ruth chapter 1, there in verse 16. It says, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. These words here that she's spoken here, there wasn't not originally the sentiment expressed by a bride to her husband here. It was to her mother-in-law. But the loyalty here that is expressed by Ruth in those beautiful words to her mother-in-law was the kind of loyalty that would later make her a wonderful wife to Boaz. We can see that she was very loyal here to her mother-in-law, Naomi. We can see as we go on into the story, we see she was very loyal throughout all those things, even to Boaz. But another thing we've seen from her, she was very loyal, but she was also hardworking. And as we just read there from Proverbs 31, I wanted to read that. We've seen there from that woman who willingly labored, she willingly worked to provide for her household. This is a woman who works. That is that virtuous woman. We see that here in Ruth here. She was hardworking. Having arrived in a strange land with her mother-in-law, you think about that, coming those from her land to a land that she was a stranger to, she recognized that there had to be some provisions that had to be made for her and her mother-in-law. And she did provide those physical, that substance that needed to be done. So we know the story how she went out and she gleaned for corn. She picked up whatever grain was dropped along the way by the reapers, and it just happened that the field that she was gleaning in was that of Boaz. We'll look there in Ruth chapter 2. We'll start there in verse 1. It says, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So we see here, Ruth here. She said, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor. She was willing to work. She was willing to help provide for her mother-in-law. She was a hard-working woman. We know the story she goes on here and how she was out there laboring those things day after day to provide for her mother-in-law. So in that, the third thing he had was she was unselfish. Who was she thinking of during all this time? She was not really thinking of herself, but to help, thinking of her mother-in-law to provide for her. Because she was not only gleaning for herself, but she was also providing for her mother-in-law. Looking on there, let's read there in verse 5. Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers? Whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter. Will you not? Do not go glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So we see here, she was selfish, unselfish. She was not a selfish type person. That's something we see in today's time where it's so hard for people to learn to be unselfish. We're in a day and age where most people just think only on themselves. We need to be ourselves, always remembering that we need to not always be thinking about ourselves. We need to learn to put other people's needs ahead of our own. But that's not easy to do for people. But that's who we are to be. And that's what it's going to take for qualities that make for a good wife is someone who is like we see here from Ruth, someone who is unselfish. She was also God-fearing. We just read about some Ruth had, she'd been brought up in the land of Moab, and she'd been taught to serve the gods of the Moabites. Through her first husband and the in-laws, however, she has learned of the one true God and had come to serve him. And the death of her husband had not affected her loyalty to God. We just talked about that when we read that a while ago, how her God now was going to be Naomi's God. She was going to serve him. This fear of God on the part of Ruth was particularly attractive to Boaz, who on his first meeting with her, he's commended her here. I'm just reading on there, we left off there right there in verse 10. Verse 10, she said, so she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. So we see here Boaz's thoughts on Ruth here. He was attracted to her from the things that he has been heard from her reputation, how she was willing to provide for her mother-in-law, and her attitude. We also see that she was also grateful for this. We see another good quality trait here from Ruth, that she was grateful. She did not take none of this for granted. This beautiful quality that is should be in all women, it is rare in our society though. She's shown unmistakably in the life of Ruth here. She has that response to the kindness of Boaz. She fell on her face, bowed down to the ground. Look there in verse 10 again. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner." She was very grateful for Boaz and for him showing favor to her. She was also more concerned for quality than for physical attractiveness in a husband here. Indications here are that Boaz was considerably older, Brother Bill mentioned here, than Ruth. But Boaz was a near kinsman to Ruth's first husband, which alone with his moral and spiritual qualities made him far more suitable than one who might be closer to her own age here, he's mentioned. Ruth's recognition of this and her desire to have Boaz as her husband again evoked a response of the praise from his lips of Boaz. Look there in chapter 3, verse 10. "Then he said, 'Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you do not go after young men, whether poor or rich.'" So we've seen her attitude. We see the type of woman Ruth is. She was not seeking after one who was young, maybe, or not even one who was rich. We've seen her looking for one who could, was able to take care of her, one that was a kind man, one that was could do those things that should be done of a man who is seeking to please God. But also we see in Ruth that she was morally pure. We talk about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Here we see that she was morally pure. It could be said of Ruth in a general way, "For all the city of my people know that you are a virtuous woman." There in Ruth 4 and verse 11. What we see there is, "All the people who were at the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel or Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, that you may prosper Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem.'" We see here, we've got the circumstances recorded in the book of Ruth itself provided a specific occasion for her and Boaz to demonstrate just how morally pure they really were. The occasion we speak of here is resulted when Ruth, mistakenly believing that Boaz was the nearest relative to her husband, and consequently believing that she had every right to become his wife. We can kind of read about those things in Deuteronomy 25, how that was and how things were to take place when you lost your husband and who was next in line. But here there was one problem. There was a near relative here other than Boaz. Brother Bill's got mentioned here is pretty interesting here. He says that there was just one problem. He was not the nearest relative, and they therefore had no right to become husband and wife until legal requirements could be met. Although they were alone at night, possessed with a mutual love and having full intentions of becoming husband and wife as soon as possible, they maintained their moral purity, leaving a good example for all who would follow afterward. Hebrews 13:4, we all know that the marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. We all understand and need to understand the importance of that. God has set forth those things that a husband and wife can enjoy, but it's only in a marriage thing. We are quite sure that if there were more Ruths in this world, that there would be far fewer divorces. We're talking about these things, looking at these qualities now to help us all to become better wives and better husbands. What we see from God's Word, the traits that God would have us to have. So we need to think on these things. If we think about this woman here, if we think about Ruth, there's a lot of good things that the women can get and see Ruth and how she had these qualities that we talked about. She was loyal, not only to her mother-in-law, she was loyal to Boaz. She was hardworking. She was unselfish. She was God-fearing. She was grateful. She was more concerned for quality of the physical attractiveness in a husband than the physical qualities. And she was morally pure. The things that we see, we just read in Proverbs 31, we see a lot of those things. We see those things in Ruth here. But now I'm thinking about now for our last, what's remaining, Think about now the qualities that make for a good husband. We're going to look at some things here in Boaz and some things that he demonstrated that can help us. But also, as Ruth provides a good example of the qualities that make for a good wife, Boaz demonstrates the qualities that a girl ought to seek in the young man who is to be her husband. Well, the first thing Brother Bill has mentioned here is he was God-fearing. And definitely we see that through Boaz. You ask, well, how do we see those things in him? Well, especially impressive is in the fact that in the fear of God influenced every relationship in life. You see here in those things that he wanted those things done right. He went by God's law on those things. He also greeted those who he worked for with the words, "The Lord be with you." And they replied, "The Lord bless you." There in Ruth 2 and verse 4. Then behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." That's the type of man here that Boaz was. His fear of God obviously influenced his relationship with Ruth. Such spiritual qualities are essential if one is to be a good husband and father. So we see in those things here that we're talking about. There's things always in our life, I hope, as we continue to look into God's Word. We look into and study in God's Word, and we see these examples of other men. There's always going to be things I hope we all see in ourselves that I need to become better at. And so when we look in these things, think about those things. Am I this type of wife? Am I this type of husband? How can I become a better wife or a better husband? We see here also from Boaz, he was a good provider. He owned land and he personally accepted the responsibility of overseeing the reaping and the threshing of his crops. But he was a good provider. He could provide for those. And we see how he helped even Ruth here. How he had his men even drop extra for her to even reap. He helped provide for Ruth and Naomi. So he was kind to the needy, as we've seen there. That was another quality that he had. He was kind to the needy. We said also in Proverbs 31, we read earlier, that virtuous woman was also kind to the needy. She was also providing for those who were in need. That's what God requires of a virtuous woman. God requires that of a man. We should be kind to the needy. We see that not only did he allow Ruth to glean his fields, but as the law did demand that too. We need to realize that. It was something that the law demanded in Deuteronomy 24:19. That was something that they could do for those who had to go out to provide for themselves. Those who were more of a need or didn't have those things, they could go glean from the fields, from the corners of the fields and those things that they scattered. He encouraged her to do so. And he provided food, he provided water, and he provided protection from harm for her throughout the time she worked there. We read that a while ago. Not only did he, like I said, had his gleaners to leave some behind for her, but he provided her with food, water. And we've seen the type of woman she was, even bringing things back to her mother-in-law. He also, another quality that we're going to see in a good husband, he recognized quality in one who was poor. I'm saying that because most men today, and probably even many women, when they look at qualities for someone, they look at maybe just the money aspect of it. What do they have? Look at how much do they have to offer and let those things be the determining factor in things. Of course, a man needs to be able to provide for his family, but providing for a family and then one going after someone for money is totally different. Today we have many people who look more at the money than they do the quality that's inside of a person. And that's what we need to be looking at. It's what we need to be looking in ourselves to make sure that we have these type of qualities. When we view Ruth, we see only those beautiful qualities that characterize her life. But Boaz could see more than that. He could see her poor clothing and lowly circumstances. He seen her for what she was. He could see the menial work that she was doing. Boaz could have easily been blinded to Ruth's inner beauty by the obvious poverty which she was surrounded in. But Boaz was a perceptive man who could judge character not on the basis of material wealth, but on the basis of inner purity and godliness. Because of this, we think about this, men, because of this, he found and recognized a real jewel who later became his wife. We talk about, and we read a while ago from Proverbs 31, talking about how blessed that man is who finds that virtuous woman. How her worth is far above rubies. Here we're talking about, here we see in Boaz here, he has found a real jewel in this woman here who's fit to become his wife. But also in these things, another good trait of a man should have is he was law-abiding. Knowing he was not the nearest relative to Ruth's former husband, and knowing that consequently he had no legal or God-given right to her, he refused to take her for his wife until legal and divinely ordained requirements could be met. Think about that in the things. Most people today, we don't think about things. If we want something, people want to go out and just take it. We don't care about rules. We don't care about law. People just don't care about these things. But we see the type of man that Boaz was here. This was a man who was law-abiding. He wanted things done rightfully the way God has set forth. So people of our age need to learn that there are those who are ineligible for marriage. When we think about that, our children need to understand this. There are those who are ineligible for marriage, those that they cannot marry. When you think about that, there's only three classes. We've talked about this in our marriage and divorces, sermons and things we've done. There's only three classes of people who have a right to marry. And those are those who have never been married, and those who have companions who are dead, or those who have put away their companions for the cause of fornication. Those are the only three that are eligible for marriage. So we have things that God has set forth for us as well that keeps us from just marrying anybody that we want to marry. Just as Boaz realized those things, that he had a law, that law to go by, and there was one nearer to kin than he was, and so he wanted those things to be done the way they should have been done in that order. So he was a man with good character. He was also morally pure as well. He actually took the lead into seeing that he and Ruth maintained moral purity. We see there from the what we read from the story of Ruth. There is nothing wrong with a young man's being handsome or physically strong, but such qualities have little bearing on the kind of husband he will be. Spiritual strength, a willingness to work, kindness, respect for authority, strength of character, truthfulness, self-respect. We can go on and on. There's many of these things that we must possess as men and as husbands that God would have us to be. Boaz had these virtues here. There are young men today who have them. And there are young men that should be attractive to Christian girls who have those type of qualities as well. Those are the things that before marriage you need to be looking at. And those I've got to spoke about who are already in marriage, who are husbands and wives now, we need to continue to establish ourselves and have these godly traits, these things that God would have us to be. Let us be that good example for our children, for those young ones that's coming up behind us that sees us. We all need to realize what great importance that we can be. It is a very great thing to me to see ones who have been married for 50, 60, 70 years. And it's a great thing to see those, because now it is very rare to see people even married for 10 years. We all work with probably many people that we see is probably on their third and fourth marriages. They marry someone, don't think nothing about it, and they say, well, first little problem arises, and they just throw in the towel. I go pick me another one up. I didn't like her. She didn't quite work out. And that is the lifestyle that we see in today's world. That is not what God ever intended on marriage. Bringing these things up just to kind of help us, I hope, in understanding who we should be as husbands and wives, and how we can continue to work at those things, to continue to improve, to be who God would have us to be. Because what we're talking about is being servants to God. God's also given us responsibilities as men to be the husbands we need to be, the fathers we need to be, the leaders we need to be, and the same as the women. He has given them tasks, given them things and traits that they should have to be that godly wife, that godly mother, that godly example she can be for the younger women. We see those things in Ruth and Boaz here. And so as we talked about these and we brought up these examples, we talk about the qualities that a man should have here. A God-fearing man. One who's a good provider. One who is kind to the needy. And one who has helped those who are poor and looks at those things. And one who's law-abiding and morally pure. We see these things in these as we look in Ruth and Boaz. But I hope we now look in ourselves. I hope each and every one of us will take a good close look at ourselves and ask ourselves, do I have those type of characteristics? Am I who God would have me to be as a husband or as a wife? And even those who are coming up need to think on these things. As you become older and become looking for that spouse, that you're looking for those type of traits that we're talking about. You realize that God will have that special person out there for you, one that's going to help you with your spiritual walk in life, one who is a virtuous woman or a man who is spiritually strong in the Lord, one who is wanting to serve God to please Him, and not someone who is selfish. If we get ourselves in a relationship to one who is selfish and all they think about is yourself, then we have a hard road ahead. And the marriage ahead if we all only thinking about ourselves. So I hope I've encouraged us this morning. Maybe give us something to think about. Because definitely, God has given us things to be doing as parents, as husbands and wives. And that's a great example. I look back at my children, I see things, and I see some things in them that maybe I don't like, but I realize most of the things that I see, their bad habits they've got, some of the things might come from me. Maybe their anger or whatever it may be. We need to think about those things, us as our older, our children, that they are watching us. We need to make sure that we're raising them up the way God would have us raise them up. Raise them up in a God-fearing home. Show them. Let us show our children, our sons and our daughters, what it truly means to be a husband and what it means to be a wife, because they are looking. I hope I've encouraged you this morning with some of those words. There's some here that might need prayers of the congregation. We want to offer you that. There may be some here who wants to become a child of God. If we can help you in any way, we want you to come now as we stand and sing. A song has been selected.